Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
So hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Ellison, here's Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy to you, Peter, on this very romantic Valentine's week. I mean, it's Valentine's Day as we record this, but by the time it comes out, that'll be very much over. But just to give everybody a little insight into how we planned to record this week, you texted me saying, are you free on Sunday? Because I'm busy on Monday. And we both had to make just make sure, didn't we, Pete, that we didn't have any Valentine's plans. But it turned out very quickly we were available.
Yeah, who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? I'd say the hour you and I just spent trying to make our equipment work was probably the highlight for me.
Well, it is working now, but the worrying thing is, it's like if your car was making a weird fucking noise, like such a weird noise that you can't drive it because you're like, this sounds like it's going to explode. And then it just suddenly stops making the noise and it's like, okay, car's working fine, but I'm worried about what might happen or why that was happening.
Fingers crossed.
So if we suddenly disappear halfway through this, guys, that's why. But yes, Valentine's aside, it's quite an apt episode this week, Pete.
Because snow,
yes. Yeah. Here in England, certainly it's been snowy. I know Wales has just started to get some snow in the last couple of days. Like, it's been spreading around, hasn't it? What's yours? What's your snow
Well, we seem to have had the majority of our snow in the past couple of weeks and not this week. I mean, it's freezing, but I think I've made my views on snow very clear before, haven't I?
Not a fan, are you?
Shite.
I will admit I'm thrilled that it's starting to disappear because it's just a pain in the arse, isn't it, really?
It is. It's an extra pain in the arse at a time when no one needs a pain in their arse, Dave.
Exactly. We already have too many arse pains. We do not need another.
Exactly.
So, a double request. The Q skipper, as it were, is Scarlett. Now, I say Q skipper because Scarlett, the second requester, still requested it on September the 26th last year. And as we record this, famously, as we've made aware, it is February the 14th.
It's February, yeah.
Scarlett, hi. I love your podcast. I'm wondering if you would do the one with Phoebe's wedding. Scarlett, I mean, absolutely efficient and to the point. She's got everything in that message that we need to hear.
Is that all it says?
Some unnecessary praise for us and the request. Absolutely fine. Thrilled.
Okay, fine, yeah.
She has skipped the queue, courtesy of Yvetta. Now, what I will say about Yvetta's message is that I replied to it on Facebook, Pete, with the following message. Thanks so much for your lovely message. We'll get to that in a minute. And thanks for the episode suggestion. I've added it to our list to discuss in the next few weeks.
Tell you what, though. That's bullshit, though, because who's head of list?
You mean it's bullshit that I've not even applied it to the list?
It's bullshit that you've claimed that you'll add it to the list because that's not your job, Dave. Well, stop telling people that you have authority that you don't have.
Well, I never sign these messages off as me, Pete. It could be from either of us.
Right.
But I guess we have made it clear that you don't, you're off grid, aren't you, Facebook?
I'm off grid and head of list.
Head of the list. Okay, well, we've added it to the list by virtue of me sending it to you. If you needed any more pointless admin details, yes. This is what happens. I pick up the message on Facebook and then I pass it to Pete and Pete adds it to the list. Anyway, the point is, Pete, that I said we'll cover this in the next few weeks.
Alas,
Yvetta's message came through on July the 7th. But it's a lovely message. Here it is. Hi, Dave and Pete. Greetings from Bulgaria.
Oh.
And then she says, I know it's no Japan, but I just want you to know you have at least one faithful listener here too. Now that is, Pete, a reference to something we said back in June.
I was just going to say, I've got no clue what that's referencing.
We talked about people listening in Japan back in June. So at the time, this message was received, very topical. Now, I had to really go back and go, what was that in relation to?
Fuck me, it took a while for that joke to land, didn't it?
She goes on, ever since I discovered your podcast about a year ago, I've absolutely loved it, and you guys have been a constant sort of positive vibes, especially in this current terrible time. So thank you. That's really nice.
Well, it's still a terrible time, so she's got that right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's still relevant.
Attempt as best we can to continue to be a source of positive vibes, even if we're basically moaning about being single on Valentine's Day. But there you go. The episode I'd like to suggest is the one with Phoebe's wedding. I think it's one of the last great episodes of Friends. Definitely one of my favourites in season 10. Phoebe's always been my favourite character. To see her finally get her well-deserved ending was incredibly heartwarming and satisfying. I also absolutely love Joey getting super into pretending to be Phoebe's dad. And Monica gets to go absolutely wild here too, which I love because she's almost never allowed to have as much fun as the others. And then a personal reason for this request. Fun fact, the song that plays while Phoebe and Chandler walk down the aisle, which is Here, There and Everywhere by the Beatles, ended up being my sister's wedding song because of this episode.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that lovely? So maybe it's just because I feel very personally connected to it. But I'd love to hear your guys' take on the episode. Thanks. Stay safe. Keep up the awesome work. That's so nice. What a lovely message. And, you know, I feel like we probably apologised more on this podcast than we have talked about Friends, but let's add another one to the pile. I'm sorry it took from last July.
But here we are.
Here we are. Here we are.
I mean, we barely need episode synopsis here, do we? Because it's just the title of the episode. Phoebe gets married.
The Monica thread and then Joey pretending to be Phoebe's dad. There's also the Chandler and Ross vying to be the final groomsmen, which we'll get to. So in my head, Pete, I think this episode sort of splits into three at the start, but then the second half, we sort of come together for the whole wedding,
just
right?
Just everyone together, yeah.
So should we sort of attack the three little strands at the start of the episode, which are Joey being the dad, Chandler and Ross, and basically Monica being, I mean, Yvette said wild and fun. I would say awful?
A dick.
Yeah. Where to start?
Well, should we start with the Joey bit?
Yes. Now, first thing I would say, shout out to the word furlough.
Yes, furlough gets a reference in its sort of American prison context,
doesn't it? Yes. Anyway, Phoebe asks Joey, doesn't she, to step in as her dad, walk her down the aisle, as it were.
And Phoebe asking Joey to walk her down the aisle, it's very sweet. That whole scene, like before the titles, is actually really lovely.
Yes, it is. It is. You can tell you're getting towards the end of Friends, can't you? Because
yes, it's a bit sort of reflective and a bit sort of tell people what you really feel about them, isn't it?
They're sort of happy for the gag rate to be a bit lower in order to make space for a bit more of the emotional stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although this episode does have a lot of laughs and a lot of a couple of very lasting lines, one of which is I am pretty wisdomous, which Joey says, you know, when Phoebe's asking him at this point. And I think I use I am pretty wisdomous fairly regularly, actually.
Somebody's just tweeted us it this evening, actually.
Have they?
Yeah. Oh, Amy said whoever requested this episode is pretty wisdomous.
I love that. Can I just say, as an aside, anytime we announce the episode that we're about to cover, there's always a handful of excellent responses with like tiny quotes from the episode in context with people choosing it, and it makes me smile nonstop. So thanks for that. So Joey, as Yvette says, sort of leaps into this role, doesn't he? And tries to take it very seriously. Starting at the rehearsal dinner where he tries to make small talk with Mike's parents, who are quite rude, aren't they?
Yes, they also sort of behave as if they've never seen him before, which I sort of imagine that they probably have.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of... Like, the rehearsal dinner itself is a strange event, isn't it?
Well, that's not as much of a tradition here, is it?
I don't think so.
A lot of people, like, before my sister's wedding, there was a bit of a gathering where people came along, like, people who travelled a long way.
Yeah, and I've been to weddings where it's like, you know, my friend had a wedding in the countryside and a few of us stayed in a hotel and we all had dinner the night before, you know, like...
But to call it a rehearsal...
And it's a very formal occasion as well, from what we've learned from Friends, basically, the rehearsal dinners, aren't they? Because they have one in London as well.
Yeah.
Which, again, doesn't seem to fit in with what we're suggesting doesn't happen here so much. But But yeah, like this very, very formal occasion the night before, because it happens in the office as well, doesn't it? The American office.
It does, Jim and Pam's one.
Yeah. And no, I've, I mean, unless, again, Pete, this goes back to maybe we're just bad at kissing, but maybe we're just never invited to the rehearsal
dinner.
Yeah,
maybe, maybe.
But even at weddings where I've been best man and groomsman, that's never happened. So if they have thrown a rehearsal dinner and not invited me, I'm looking at you, Simon. If you had a rehearsal dinner, see, the night before my friend Simon's wedding, where I was the best man, there was like a party, a little gathering in one of the houses where some of the people were staying. Great. But it wasn't like a formal thing. Yeah, it was like a pizza
party. And you wouldn't call it
a
rehearsal.
Yeah. No, it was just a fun little, everyone's out of town in the same area. Let's all have a few beers and a nice time, you know?
Also, Monica looks like she's wearing a wedding dress at the rehearsal.
Yeah, everybody's dressed too smartly, I'd say.
Yeah. Monica's wearing like a white dress, which would pass for a wedding dress, and then has a little cardigan over the top of it.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it?
I mean, that's the least of Monica's problems at that rehearsal.
Oh, God, yeah. We'll get onto that in a minute, won't we? And then after Joey sort of gets snubbed by... Does Mike's dad say, "Who the hell are you?" Like,
yes.
Even if Joey's behaviour is a bit confusing, you'd thought he'd just be a bit more polite on the rehearsal dinner. Well, let's be honest, there's only 10 people there or something.
Yeah, it's
not
very
a big
low
occasion,
key.
Is it?
Like, well, it should be low key given the number of people there, but it's actually quite formal.
Well, correct. Yeah, there's fewer people at the rehearsal dinner than there are at the wedding.
Yes.
Even though the wedding is itself scaled down because of the blizzard.
Yeah.
And again, I don't fucking know what's supposed to happen at a rehearsal dinner, but the other two examples we've cited, the London one and the one in the office, there's fucking loads of people at the rehearsal dinner, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And speeches.
Speeches and all that sort of stuff. But Phoebe only has the friends at her rehearsal dinner. That's it. So, like, not her mum's not there or anything. You know, like, there's a lot of people that could / should be at Phoebe's wedding and rehearsal dinner and just all she...
Can't be asked.
Mike has a sort of series of anonymous people on his side that we literally never meet. His groomsmen and such.
Who are that really boring couple that we meet when Phoebe meets Mike's parents? They're not there, are they?
Oh, no. No, they're not there either, are they? No, it's basically just Mike's parents, a groomsman, a best man, and a couple of other anonymous extras, aren't there?
Mm.
But anyway, there you go. So Joey then continues the dad, taking the dad thing too seriously, by taking Mike for one of his little sort of pre-wedding speeches in Joey's bedroom, which, let's be honest, is the bedroom of a 19-year-old student.
It's very chaotic, isn't it? I also think that Joey telling Mike that there's nothing more important than family is a bit rich, given he rarely sees his.
Joey comes from this sort of really tight, supposedly Italian family, who we meet about 3 times in 10 years.
Yeah.
And Joey just recites all these lines from a mafia movie. What was it called? Family Honor to This Timer,
this
It's a
timer,
Personal.
It's a Personal, yeah.
So that's Joey's sort of segment of the pre-wedding storyline. Then we get Chandler and Ross, who are, I'd say, very presumptuous in thinking they should be part of this wedding.
Well, it's not unreasonable for Phoebe not to be able to fit all 5 of her friends in her quite limited wedding party.
Right, exactly. There's only 12 people at the bloody rehearsal dinner. They can't all be in the wedding.
No.
But also, it's symptomatic, isn't it, of the dysfunctional friends relationship between the group. But ultimately, weddings very traditionally have the bride has her bridesmaids, right? Which are her friends. And the groom has his friends as groomsmen and best man.
Yeah. Like, why the fuck? Maybe chucking a brother.
Yeah, exactly. There might be a close brother or a close sister doing the sort of the swapsies. But why the hell would Phoebe's friends that she lives near even have a look in at Mike's wedding party, effectively?
And then they seem to expect that there'd be maybe some other role for them in the wedding. Like, they might have some other part to play when, you know, it's quite limited with weddings.
I mean, there's 2 roles. I mean, there's 1 role, and then there's from each side of that role, there's a head version of that role, you know? I'll tell you what was also odd, is that Chandler has taken 10 years and many rehearsal dinners to come out with that "glad I get to rehearse the dinner" gag.
Yes.
Which I would have thought he'd have made a long time ago.
I do like Ross and Chandler having their little squabble about not being selected for things before. And then I like Ross saying, is that what they say on the figure skating team? I wouldn't know. I didn't make it.
Yeah.
That's a great bit of Chandler being whiny.
Yeah, it's really nice, isn't it? It's one of those moments where you just have to sort of, there's still like that lingering bit of stereotypical masculine, you know, Chandler trying not to be, talk about figure skating, what's the other one, ice dancing or whatever. Yeah,
football
it
is the only one that he sort of feels is acceptable.
Yeah, Ross is like, football, talk about football. But again, as with last week's episode, really, Chandler's being much less stereotypically masculine and Ross is really trying to sort of force him into being it, isn't he?
Yeah.
But when that callback, is that what they say on the figure skating team? And then they probably hug because Chandler's still very emotionally traumatized by it. And then Mike reveals his groomsmen can't come. And they go absolutely nuts to be involved in this wedding. Honestly, guys, why do you care?
They're gagging for it, aren't they?
Chill the F out. And then quickly, Mike offloads the decision to Phoebe, who offloads the decision to Rachel. A lovely bit of delegation.
Rachel's barely really in this episode, is she?
There's very little. Actually, yeah, this is a very weak Rachel episode. And we'll get on to, I think, the worst bit of this episode. And actually one of the worst bits of all of Friends.
Oh.
Is Rachel in this episode. Ooh, what a little tease ahead to later. Just not terrible bit of Friends, just dreadful writing. And I just think the whole bit's a bit eggy. But we'll come on to that in a bit. Rachel's in charge of it. And actually, to be fair, it makes me laugh that her attitude is just tell them both that they are the groomsmen and hope the situation resolves itself somehow, which to be fair to her...
You're not supposed to tell each other.
Yeah, to be fair to her, the situation does resolve itself.
It's true, yeah.
And Mike comes in, shout out to Chappie.
Poor old Chappie looks absolutely fucked.
The poor dog, I know. I know. I mean, the poor dog, it's like we learn the dog can't walk in the snow. Like, he's quite a pathetic dog as it is, but he just looks.
I love how seriously Ross takes Stroll as well when he interrupts the actual wedding to be like, Chappie's heart rate has slowed way down.
See, the thing with that is, what a strangely dark line. Like,
the dog is dying in his arms. Yeah.
Suddenly, the wedding enters a race with death. Like, this wedding has to conclude before the dog dies. Like, it's such a throwaway little laugh, but when you really dial down into it.
But of course, Chappie is part of the final part of the episode, isn't he, where Ross is waiting for him to go to the loo. So Chappie's fine in the end.
Poor old Chappie. Is he fine in the end, though, Pete? Because at this time, it's 11 p.m, everyone else has gone home, and Mike's mum and dad have just left the dog.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless they're out partying in Manhattan somewhere, but I imagine they've already gone home. Why have they left the dog with Ross?
In the street.
I'm not sure Chappie's getting all the love and care he deserves.
He's just in the street, in the snow, cold, shitting and dying.
Well, just not even shitting. He's like, you know, refusing to shit. God, poor old Chappie, eh? Monica's headset confuses me.
It's sort of a Britney-style headset, isn't it?
The headset itself, absolutely fine. I understand it. My question to you, Pete, is... who's she talking to?
Yes, good point, yeah.
At no point do we see any sign of anybody else with a headset. There doesn't seem to be... that. Certainly at the rehearsal dinner, there's 10 people there, like we discussed. At the wedding, in the end, there's about 20 people there, one of whom is Gunther.
Yes, you're right, because even when she's sort of panicking that one of the bridesmaids is missing before she realises it's herself, she sort of talks into the headset, but there's no one on the other end of it, is there?
There's nobody there. We can see the entire wedding party, unless there's a whole team of sort of... stage managers in blacks out of shot. You know, when she says the wedding is ready to go and she says sort of teams go on my command, all teams execute, or whatever she says, who are the teams?
Yeah, who are you talking to?
I feel like maybe the whole thing was just an elaborate ruse for Monica to look cool wearing a headset, but still,
she doesn't.
1800 military time is when the dinner starts. That's what Monica tells Phoebe. 2100 military time is when Monica calls the speeches.
Long meal.
Long fucking meal. Exactly what I was
thinking. I mean, weddings are long.
Yeah, but this is the rehearsal dinner, Pete. Well, maybe it's time
perhaps
to
even longer.
Get your mistakes out of the way. Exactly. But I mean, I was thinking that just considering there's 10 or 12 people there, all of whom are making quite boring small talk at 6 o'clock when they arrive. Like, God, that must have been a tedious evening.
Also, where's Chappie at this point?
Oh, where is Chappie? Left at home, probably. Absolutely not cared for by his parents at all, is he?
Oh, Chappie. The true tragic figure of Friends.
Yeah. Justice for Chappie. That's what we need. A curious nod to the fax machine.
Yep.
In 2004.
Yeah, faxes were off. Oh, we'll say this and then someone will be like, oh, no, I actually was using a fax machine last year.
What we've learned from the tech chat on this podcast, and if you just joined us or you haven't listened to some of the episodes from sort of towards the end of last year, some examples are, you know, text messaging and emails and when all that sort of stuff came in. And I think what we've learned from various protestations is that America was just always really behind the UK.
Yeah.
A lot of people sort of get in touch to say, well, you might have had a Nokia 3310 in 2001, but
I only got one a month ago.
We only got cups and string in 2008. And so actually, maybe, like, for argument's sake, let's just assume that in 2004, yeah, that's when the fax machine made it to America.
Well on, yeah.
Yeah. It's just starting its technological journey in America in 2004.
Have you ever sent a fax?
Do you know what? I have actually, Pete. Summer job back in, what year would it have been? When I was 16, so 2002. Do you know what? Still on, but that was in a stationery shop, so...
Really? Which was it? One of the big name stationery shops.
Well, I mean, what are your big names? Can you name more than two?
Well, your WH Smiths.
Oh yeah,
and your Ryman's.
Ryman's, there it is.
Oh.
Ding, ding, ding! Someone cool. We knew owned a franchise of Ryman's in Altrincham.
Right.
So there
that
you go.
Sounds pretty bleak. To be
I
honest.
Think I only worked there maybe twice. My sister worked there quite a lot, and I don't know why I was working there. I just remember working there a couple of times.
Are Ryman's still on?
I think Ryman's still on, yeah. Yeah, I do walk past one occasionally.
I mean, WH Smiths are just clinging on, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
With their everything's over... Oh, no, I won't say that.
Just are you worried about besmirching WH Smith?
Well, I don't know. I was going to say everything's overpriced and it's sort of known for having shit carpet.
Yes, it is. It does have terrible... I mean, no. Do you know what? At this stage of the lockdown, what I wouldn't give to be wandering around
WH
Smith.
I would fucking love to go to...
Just have a take a tread on the shit carpet.
Oh, to go to WH Smith.
It's interesting that Iveta enjoyed the Monica storyline because I personally, one of my worst Monica experiences this episode.
It's peak, I find it's peak annoying Monica. Although yeah. I do agree what Iveta says in that it does seem like Monica is having her own sort of fun. It's just that when Monica's having her own sort of fun, no one else is.
That's true, isn't it? Monica's fun involves everybody else having a torrid time.
She's a little fun leech.
Yes, she is a fun leech. The Monica gesturing at her watch and telling Phoebe to hurry up the speeches is...
Yeah.
She should have been stopped by everybody.
Especially when Phoebe references her mum who is no longer with us and Monica's like, oh, God.
Oh, no. I mean, that is tasteless at best, isn't it?
I do love hysterical Phoebe, though, snapping. That's great.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the sock, Juju, the sock. Yeah. And that sort of wraps up the pre-wedding night, doesn't it? It'd be a good time to take a little break, and then we can do the second half of the wedding day itself, right?
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wedding day, right? Now,
yes.
There's something about the wedding day, even before all the blizzard stuff happens, It does not have the vibe and the energy of a wedding day.
Well, I also thought it also creates a very different vibe for a Friends episode. Like, it feels quite different. It feels quite significant. But then also the way that they're sort of, we're seeing different sets because they're out on the street and they're coming in and out of Central Perk in a different way to how they normally would. It almost feels like a sort of end of series episode or even like a last ever episode, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It's a very, it feels like last day of term vibes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But so Monica's been fired by Phoebe, and Phoebe sort of says, do you know what? Just be a bridesmaid. Don't be the wedding planner anymore.
Yeah.
At which point Monica continues to be, like, her behaviour is abominable.
Well, she sort of relishes things going wrong from that point on, doesn't
she? She's lording it over Phoebe, isn't she? She's not helping. It's like, you're not the wedding planner, but you could be, you know, if you get fired from a job and then the company says, can you just give back all the confidential information and make sure this company works? You can't just be like, well, I've got the phone number of the guy who's the client, but I'm not going to give it you.
Yeah.
Like, she's being a bad professional and a bad friend, I would suggest.
By the way, who has a fucking ice sculpture at a wedding?
Do you know what, though? Here's the thing.
I do love when it melts, though, on the old
thing. On the steam grid. Someone I know runs an ice sculpture company.
Right, cool.
And once I learned this, it's like a friend of a friend. I went through a phase for about 2 or 3 years where I'd organise an ice sculpture from them for pretty much every event I had.
How much is an ice sculpture?
A couple hundred quid, maybe, for a little one.
Like, but what not, about the, they have a huge one.
Not debilitating. Yeah, that one, I think, would have been.
Which, by the way, how do they get that up and down the stairs multiple times?
Well, who's taken up the stairs and just left it in the hall as well? I get annoyed enough when Amazon leave a box in my hallway and just knock and leave it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're delivering an ice sculpture, surely you want to make sure that it's getting to the right place.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to, we had one for a radio party.
Like, in what
an end
shape?
Of series rap party. We had one at a radio awards night or something. I just kept saying, hey guys, I know these guys that do ice sculptures, and sort of funneling some of the budget off. Because do you know what, Pete? People do love an ice sculpture.
But are they sort of functional?
Yeah, so if you can request that it's functional in the sense that it's got a hole and a tube, so you can...
For shots.
Yeah, you do shots down it, don't you?
Right.
But it doesn't feel like a very shotty wedding. And actually, considering someone did melt the ice sculpture in this wedding, like, you'd be a bit more livid than that, right? That must have cost a fair fucking bit of money.
Well, it's money down the drain, isn't it? It's literally money down the drain.
Did you write that down?
It's literally ice down the drain.
How long have you been waiting to say that?
That was off the top of my head, though.
Peter, I'm proud of you.
Thank
you.
It's
a very good joke, actually.
Thank you.
But yeah, so the wedding day, it feels like a lot hasn't been done.
Yeah,
I know Monica's giving up, but there's a lot of shit not finished.
Well, I thought this. Obviously, there is the added complication of the blizzard, which is throwing everything off. But it does seem to me very unlikely that the bride would have to be there organising such intricate details on a wedding day.
Yeah, the food's going wrong, the drink's going wrong, the ice sculpture's in the wrong place. Pretty much everything has been half-assed organised, hasn't it? I would say at this stage, Monica's not a very good wedding planner.
No, she's done a terrible job. I do quite like the old urban wedding that they end up having.
The street wedding, yeah, it's interesting. Like, obviously, at the risk of being accused of overanalyzing a TV show, we've had a snowy week this week, Pete. That road is still in the middle of Manhattan.
There would still be a reasonable amount of people traffic.
Snow doesn't, like, when snow happens, and you've had really bad snow up in Leeds recently, it's not like the town closes down completely. Do you know what I mean? You couldn't just throw an event in quite a main road and assume that was fine. They've set up chairs, they've set up a whole wedding, they've moved an ice sculpture into the middle of the street, they've opened up Central Perk and just left the doors open as if nobody is in Manhattan at all. So what would be the point in having security?
Yeah.
They're just using this coffee shop. Again, there's a blizzard, so why does that mean the coffee shop's closed? Surely the people of Greenwich Village still want coffee.
They'll want to warm their hands.
They will want to warm their hands, Pete. Exactly. So yeah, it's very strange, but I get it. I get the pretense. It's a TV show, but yeah, it's a nice setting they end up having, isn't it?
And they have a lovely wedding. It's all very sweet.
How they get to the wedding, though, is the worst part of the episode for me. I think the worst 20 seconds of maybe all of Friends in terms of the clunky writing and delivery is Rachel's speech where it suddenly appears to her within seconds that they could have a wedding in the street.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like, what are we going to do? And Rachel goes, well, the snow stopped. You could just, oh, I don't know, have a wedding in the street.
It's
this could
just
be the simple wedding
wanted.
You've always wanted. It's, oh, God, it just, it's always, I've always hated it.
It's a bit sort of saccharine, isn't it?
It's very saccharine. It's very like, no, I think the thing is that what Friends is brilliant at, and has kind of always been brilliant at, is even though it's a heightened world, a lot of their conversation is the sort of conversation you can imagine humans having in real life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So they'll laugh at people's jokes in the sitcom, which people never do in a sitcom. You know, they'll have conversations where you go, oh yeah, you know, the conversation would never be this quick and sparky, but actually it's all fairly natural in the grand scheme of things compared to a lot of sitcoms. And that bit, and there's a few bits in Friends, that for me is the worst perpetrator of it, where it's like she's reading a line from a primary school play.
Yeah, a bit naff.
Yeah, a bit naff, yeah. Oh my God, I just thought you could have a wedding in the street. This might be the simple wedding you always wanted. Oh, good idea, Rachel. Let's do the street wedding. You know, it's like, ugh. Anyway, I know they have to just move the plot along quickly, but just thought I'd get that out there, Pete.
That's all right, Dave. That's okay.
And also, like we've said, we've had a lot of snow this week. I'm not coming to your wedding if you're having it in the street, Pete. No offence. I love you, but bollocks to that. It's too cold for me to take the dog out with 10 layers on. Like, yeah. I'm shivering my tits off by the time I get around the corner. I'm not standing around in, like, Phoebe in her wedding dress without that coat. Honestly, it's not like, ooh, I'm a bit cold. It's, I'm dangerously under temperature.
New York cold is sort of exceptionally cold.
Right.
If she's out there in, we're talking sort of, well, solid minuses, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We've had minus fives and minus sixes this week here, and we don't get extremes, do we? Mike's parents do make it, though, because they live in Manhattan, don't they, as we know?
Although one of them gets tranquilized.
It's a bit of a dodgy moment, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's okay, Mike. I've just drugged your mother. Against her will. It's glossed over, isn't it? And also, what I would say is, I guess his mum is worse than his dad, but it's not been like a consistent theme that his mum's the big problem, you know?
No, it was just when they met Phoebe the first time, wasn't it? That obviously went horribly wrong.
They're both pricks, is what I mean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like they've sort of neutralised the mother, and suddenly the dad's become like that. Oh, thank goodness, I'm normal.
Yeah, well, but laid back.
Yeah, exactly. They bring the dog. They don't take the dog home, as previously discussed. Here's another injustice for you. At the start of it's a funny line as well, actually, at the start of the episode, where Marjorie's Oda and Phoebe says, she will shower when Tibet is free.
Yes.
Which is a very, like, Phoebe plucked out of nowhere line, isn't it? But the disdain that Monica has for Marjorie is absolutely unjustified, because Marjorie's steel drum playing is absolutely banging.
Yes, that's true. Monica sort of uninvites her, doesn't she?
Yeah, against Phoebe. Again, this goes back to the Monica being just a dreadful, dreadful person and sort of taking away all the things Phoebe actually wants at her wedding and replacing it with what Monica thinks is the correct thing to have.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, Marjorie is an absolute delight.
Yeah, the steel drums are a nice touch.
Really nice. What a nice vibe. Get steel drums at all weddings.
Yeah.
As we previously mentioned, Gunther's there. Presumably he opened up Central Perk because it's been closed, because the whole country's closed. But he's on the front row.
Yes, very prominent role, isn't he?
Very front and centre. Phoebe's guests are either lined up with her, Monica and Rachel, on the other side, Ross with the dog. Chandler's on the front row. Joey's being the minister. And then the only other person recognisable from Phoebe's life is Gunther.
Classic.
The guy that serves them coffee downstairs, who's beaming on the front row. But, you know, it's about time Gunther got to be at a wedding, isn't it?
It's true.
You know, it's been all these ones in the past and vague references to him not being part of the gang and not being invited, but
if Chappie's there, then Gunther should be.
Well, Gunther should have been the groomsman. That's what they should have done. If Rachel had picked Gunther, he'd have been bloody made up.
He would have loved it.
And then we get the final bit, like we say, where Ross has still got the dog because Mike's parents are dreadful. And Joey and Chandler arrive home at exactly 11 p.m.
Yes, for their for the organised sex.
Organised sex. We're led to believe Monica's already home. And I know weddings aren't traditionally late dues, but to be home and ready to go to bed at 11 p.m. it feels like it was quite a tame wedding.
Yes, that's true.
There's also a reference to when they're like, where's Ross? Maybe he's with that girl he was chatting to. What girl? Who are these people? There was no one there.
I saw Marjorie on the steel drums.
there's about 12 people there. And I mean, again, we're looking too deeply into it, but where have they had the reception? Presumably just in Central Perk, right?
Well, it's local, nip inside.
Just nipped into Central Perk and had a few coffees. No booze there, is there? Happy wedding day, Mike and Phoebe.
So you've got the questions for the quiz.
Amy's back again.
From the fourth quiz.
Amy's back. Quizzing friends. Quizzes. This works sort of, doesn't it? The word friend in that song. Okay. You know what I mean? You see what I was trying to do?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Yeah. Amy, our fourth quizzed, has prepared a lightning round for us. There are five questions. I have the slideshow. Question one. What are the two kinds of fish Monica wants Phoebe to choose between?
Halibut and salmon.
Correct. God, you got that straight away. There you go. I've been eating a lot of fish in the last couple of weeks, actually, Pete. Yeah. I found a place that does next day fresh fish deliveries.
Oh, very nice.
That's basically been it's such a boring story, but it's such a good time looking up fish recipes and cooking them.
I'm happy for you.
Question two. What was Phoebe doing on the day they taught military time? I think she was missile training, was she? Correct. Question three. Who is playing steel drums and when will she shower?
Marjorie. And she'll shower when Tibet is free.
As we have already referenced. Question four. What are the three sports Chandler didn't get picked for? Oh, this is annoying because I can only remember two of them, I think. So
Figure skating. Balance beam.
Yeah, balance beam. That's the other one, isn't it? And synchronized swimming. I could remember figure skating and synchronized swimming, but I couldn't remember balance beam.
That's what I'm here for.
Between us, Pete, we have earned this sound.
Good.
And question five. What was the name of the Mafia movie Joey didn't get the part for? Do you know what we've covered? We've done well noting details this week.
Yeah.
Family Honor 2, This a Timer, It's a Personal, I think is what it is.
That's
is it?
The one.
It's correct.
Done well there, Dave.
Good quiz. Wonderful quiz. Thank you, as always. Next week, Pete, what shall we discuss? Friends?
Next week, it will be. I can reveal that it will be Friends.
Yes, good.
It's another double request, actually. The One in Vegas Part 2.
Oh, good. Have we done The One in Vegas Part 1?
I don't think we have.
No, I'm not sure we have either.
Good episode, that. Looking forward to that one. In a few weeks' time, we're doing The One with Two Parts Part 2.
Incredible. I love that people are only requesting half of the two parts. That really makes me laugh. So some of the end episodes of Friends with Friends, when we've done all the episodes, are going to be like the first half of a shit two-parter, which is just the setup of the rest of it. Yeah. And I cannot wait for that. Okay, so The One in Vegas Part 2, this time next week here on Friends with Friends. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.